If you are ready to receive the word this morning, I'm ready to deliver it. Let's look in St. Mark. Go into the New Testament, Matthew, Mark. Let's go to Mark chapter 2. And we will be reading 1 through 12, but we're going to go to verse 12, for that is our main scripture reading this morning. And the Bible says, immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." I'm reading from the New King James Version. And the people said, as they were glorifying God, "We never saw anything like this." Now, what would cause a group of people to say such words? It was so exciting. They said, "We never saw anything like this." It's the story of a real-life miracle. Now, healings, in my mind, are kind of, you know, progressive. A start, and sometimes they slowly progress, and healing can definitely come. Some feel that this is a healing. I look at this story of the man of the palsy, who I'm going to call him a cripple. It's easier to say for me. But this crippled man, he indeed had a great miracle. So we're going to look at it together, beginning in verse 1. And again, Jesus, he entered into Capernaum. Just real as a quick note, Capernaum was kind of like his headquarters. I don't know why, but he often resorted there to spend time with God, expound the scriptures. And he was heard that day in a house. Verse 2. Immediately, many began to gather, so there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door, and he preached the word to them. You know, whenever Jesus shows up, he didn't even have to make announcements. He didn't even have to make big advertisements. He didn't have to say, "Hey, I'm going to be over here. Come to this service," you know? Whenever it seems like Jesus showed up on the scene, people began to go, flock. And over and over, you'll see in the New Testament where it says multitudes. That means many. You know, they filled the house. It would be like having the church full. You can't even get in the door. Why is that? Because wherever Jesus is, there is something happening. There's something happening. It's just the way it is. He was God in the flesh, and he expounded the word. And wow, he drew people. He drew people. And you know, that's why we always talk about him. Because either you believe that he is truly the Son of God, the Omnipotent One, the Great I Am, the God in the flesh, the God without an earthly father, or you don't. I believe it. I have to. I've spent a lifetime looking at this, reading the scriptures, and contemplate in it. I've processed it, and in my heart now, I totally believe that. And that's why we're called believers. When Jesus is around, he can change dissatisfaction to satisfaction. He can take the ordinary and become extraordinary. He can take frowns and make them into smiles. He can take emptiness and make them into fullness. He can take restlessness and give you a river of restfulness. That's why he's willing. He's wanting to. Dennis alluded to that. He wants to give us this rest. He wants to give us rest. He wants to give us peace. He wants to give us joy. And you know, when we allow him to enter into our spirit, not into our physical body, but into our spirit, something begins to happen. Because wherever Jesus is, there is something going to happen. It's a new revelation. Whenever God gives you a new revelation, did you ever read the word and all of a sudden something pops out at you? "Oh, I never saw it like this." What? You've been a Christian for 30 years? Yes, because sometimes God brings something into your life, brings something into your heart, brings something into your mind, into the soulish realm, and now he's provided you with a special gold nugget from the word. He's provided you with a new revelation, and with a new revelation comes his presence. That's the only way the word can open up to us. That's why the unbelievers don't understand the Bible, because it's a spirit-filled word. There's hundreds, if not millions of people, I was going to say hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of books being written and on the library shelves, but there's only one that is a living word. And that's why when you read his word, some say, I don't know how to get into the presence of God. Wow, I do. Read the word. It's so alive. It's so living. It's so real. Because that's why he gave it to us. They were inspired by men of God who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And there's always more to follow. I've been now a Christian for exactly 50 years. That's a half a century. And here I am this morning, still excited because Jesus went to Capernaum, preaching the word, and some friends, in verse 3 says, they came to Jesus, bringing a paralytic, a crippled man who was carried by four men. Four close friends. Now, they had to be friends. Are you going to carry somebody who you don't care about? No, you care about somebody, then you do something about it. He had four friends, he had four men with him. And verse 4 says, and when they could not come near to the door or get into the house because of the, what's your Bible say? Crowd. Thank you. Who said that? See, I had one listening. Just kidding. They uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the man that was crippled who was lying there. You know, this man, it gives a long story here. It never said he asked for anything. This man didn't ask. He didn't beg. But these four men were so concerned about getting their friend and getting this man in to see Christ, even though it was full house. It was a full house. That they thought, what can we do? What can we do? We can't get him to this Christ. We can't get him there. But what can we do? One of them. That's in 3 Rick 1:1. One of them said, I know what we can do. Let's lift him up onto the roof. Let's get him up on the roof. And Jesus up front, let's get him up on the roof. We'll tear off a little section and we will lower him down. Can you imagine? Whenever friends have something that they want to do, you know, they will think outside of the box. They will do whatever they can. And that is so cool. They said, we will let him down. And we know that if we get him to Jesus, something is going to happen. Something is going to happen. So they tear off the roof and they start letting him down. Now, back then, they probably had ropes. And there's four guys up there letting this man down in the midst of this crowd. And can you imagine? Can you imagine falling, being let down into the arms of Christ? This man who was unprecedented. He was healing. He was forgiving sins. Wherever he went, crowds followed. People listened. He was let down right into the arms of Christ. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to him, Son, which I want to just on a quick note let you know, that's a very compassionate word. It's like, friend, son, wow. Just a small, short word, S-O-N. But he's saying, son, daughter, I really care about you. Son, your sins are forgiven. You know, at that moment, he didn't even address his paralytic condition. Because he had the power to say forgiveness of sins, and he had the power to heal. He had the power to do whatever he wanted to do. And sometimes he did some very unusual things. But he was willing because he saw faith. Where did he see faith? This is kind of complex, but he really saw faith in the four men that was bringing him and lowering him down. Friends can help friends. Friends can pray for friends. If you ever have a low day and having a tough time, go to a friend. Ask for prayer. Say, help me through this. Give me a scripture. Why are we so, sometimes we feel like we're so, I don't know, been saved so long or so spiritual, we can't ask. You know, humble ourselves. He will lift you up. He will give you what you need. This man had a really close friendship with these people. So let's go to verse 6. And some of the scribes are sitting there reasoning in their hearts. Now here he had a crowd of people wanting to hear him. But then there was some skeptics, you know. In every crowd, now I don't care what church you go to, there's going to be somebody that's just, you know, skeptical. Or, you know, we'll leave it there. I was thinking hypocritical. Oops, didn't mean to say that. Or did I? Oh, no answer. Verse 7, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? It's a question. Who can forgive sins? See, they did not. Some did not believe he was the Son of God, and he was going to provide proof. God will provide proof. He will touch your heart. He will move in your heart. He will move in your spirit. He will move in your life. And immediately, when Jesus perceived that there was some reasoning going on amongst them, which is unfaith, unbelief, he said to them, "Why do you reason? Why do you question?" Sometimes we do. We know, sometimes I think we question. And we're earthly people. We're human beings, so we question. But he said, what's easier to say? See, whether it's your physical condition or your spiritual condition, when Jesus said, I say to you, rise up, take your bed, and, you know, leave this house, go your way. He was saying, I'm healing you in spirit, forgiving you, I'm healing you. And you are made whole. It doesn't matter the words that he said. He could say anything. It was a spirit thing. It was a heart thing. He was reaching out to this man. And this man received it. This man received it. He was forgiven. He was healed. And he was excited. Wow. Wow. Friends are so important. These friends, he wouldn't have been there had it not been for these four men. I found a short poem I just thought was so interesting. Simple, short, but I thought I'd read it this morning. And the poem is entitled True Friend. A friend is like a star that twinkles and glows, or maybe like the ocean that gently flows. A friend is like gold that you should treasure and take care of forever and ever. A friend is like an angel that is there to guide you. A friend is someone you can trust out of a few. A friend is more than one in a million. They are one in a gazillion. And you, my friend, are very special. And so it is official. Someone said to me one time, God doesn't have a calculator in heaven. I think they're right, but I'll tell you what. If God has a calculator in heaven, and he doesn't need one, he knows all things. I think if God did have a calculator in heaven, and it had the usual multiplication, division, subtraction, and addition, in my mind, God doesn't have two of those. Those are four of the main mathematical things that lead us into many equations and algebra, etc. God can add and God multiplies. In our hearts and in our lives, he adds and he multiplies. But he does not divide and he does not subtract. When there's a subtraction in our life, it's on our part, not on God's. He's given us everything. He's given us the tools. He's given us the word. He's given us the knowledge of his word. So he doesn't take away, but he adds and he multiplies. And that's what he was doing for this man. He was preaching the word. He had compassion in his heart. And he was taking a helpless man and changing him. He was changing him. You know, whenever you get in the presence of God, he takes you from earthly things to heavenly things. He takes you from realm to realm. And it's stepping up. Stepping up. You say, well, I see a lot of things in life. Forget it. Close your eyes. Focus on him. Focus on this one who is the living word. He was God in the flesh. That's hard for us to accept in the natural, but I believe it's true. And in order to keep our eyes on him, we have to press through and keep our focus on this Jesus. So, let's go to verse 12. Immediately, the man arose. I know I say, wow, but I mean, I've worked with men of palsies. I've worked with crippled people. I have worked with mentally challenged and physically challenged. And this man was let down. And there was faith involved. And this man immediately arose, took up his bed, went out in the presence of them all. So you know what they did? If they couldn't get in the door, they were so mystified, they were so amazed that they parted and let this man walk out with his bed. And it says they glorified God. They realized that this was truly a man of miracles, a man that could forgive sins. He was truly the Son of God who he declares to be. Some thought he was blaspheming, but he was not. And when all these people saw it, they glorified God and said, we never saw it like this. We never saw it like this. But it happened. It happened. It wasn't a parable. It was a real life story. It happened like this. This man that was forgiven and healed, he seems like it's strange to me almost that he never asked for anything, never said anything. So it leads me to think that this salvation, this healing or miracle, these things that happen in our lives transition because of our hearts. It happens from the inside out. When a baby is born, created in the womb, the first 18 days, the first thing that's created is the heart, and the heart begins to beat. It's moved and created from the inside out. So God wants to move in our hearts. And when he does that, we realize that he moves in our hearts, he changes us. Can't I have a question for you? If you couldn't understand, and I worked with a lady that had to do all sign languages. She was a staff person, but she could not talk. Can that person be saved if they can't say the sinner's prayer? Can a person be healed if they cannot stand up and ask for healing? Can a person that's blind and can't read the word of God, can they be saved? I'm telling you, we never saw it like this. Because Jesus and the Word of God and God comes into our lives and he transitions us, changes us from an old creature to a new creature from the inside out. He changes us. It's a heart thing. It's absolutely a heart thing. And then people begin to see the great things that God's doing and they glorify God and say, hey, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. So his purpose is to seek and to save, and he presents us with proof. He's the Son of the living God. And, you know, this word, I talk about it sometimes, that Jesus was the living, walking, breathing word. In John 1:1, we find it. We actually find it. I'll read it real quick, just because I think it's so important. In the Word, this is in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When Jesus was expounding the Scriptures, he only had the Old Testament. We're more fortunate. We have so much more. We have the New Testament. And he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Verse 3, and says, without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. This was truly the living word. So when they were dropping this friend into the arms of Christ, they were taking him to the supernatural, into the realms of a world that we've never seen, of a world that we don't understand, of a world that I'm still trying to process. I was watching a program the other day on the universe, and it was a scientific show, and it so fascinated me, because I looked out and I saw, you know, all these planets, and they actually now are beginning to realize that Pluto is not the last planet. There's more beyond. That the stars that we see and even can gain in our great 20-foot magnifiers and scopes, it's just the maybe the edge of the universe. And the scientists that put this show together, you know, if we were to say, the universe is so marvelously big, so it's outstandingly large, and this is where somehow there's a supernatural holy spirit out there. God is a spirit, and that's why when you worship him, how do you worship him? In spirit and in truth. And you know, if they were to tell me that the universe is twice as big as it is, it would put me in awe. If it was to say it was three times as big as it is, I would be amazed. But some scientists are now saying, according to what I saw, that the universe, the more they study and the more they look into the deep beyond, they are now saying the universe could be 5,000 times bigger than what we know. In other words, I think it might be limitless. There's something that we got to go to. There's something that we got to go to. We got to make ourselves, we are dropping ourselves into the arms of Christ and into his word, his living word. And when we do this, we will begin to feel and realize his divine supernatural power, the realism of it. And we will realize that the living word is supernatural in origin, eternal in duration, inexpressible in valor, infinite in scope, regenerative in power, infallible in authority, universal in application, inspired in totality. And like I like to say, from A to Z, it is our all in all. We never saw it like this. But listen, now we have. It was new then, but now we have the scriptures right before us. And I think we can say, now it is ours. And we have seen it like this. We do believe. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the living word of God that is a lamp unto our feet and a light into our pathway. And if we stay on that path, you said it would grow brighter and brighter until the perfect day. So light dries out darkness. A flashlight drives into the darkness and gives us light. It's so great. Oh God, your word is so wonderful and so matchless and so precious that King David said it's more worthy than precious gold. If we don't have any gold here on earth, we have the greatest thing this side of heaven, the living word of God in our hands. And we thank you, Lord, that we can see this. We just thank you for working in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for what you've inspired in me to give us encouragement. And God, if I will anything, it is I will encouragement to our body. It's what I will encouragement to every soul that's here this morning to give life, to give us a week that we can say we never saw it like this, but now we can. And now we can be believing and so inspired. We just thank you, Lord, for your presence. Be with us this week. Be with us today. Just inspire us and give us the heart to seek after you, because you said if we seek after you, we can find you. And Lord, we want you. We just thank you in that precious and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. God bless all of you.